This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone, and welcome back to day number 19 of Ramadan 360 with Al Maghrib Institute. I am your host once again, Sister Hafsa. Very excited to welcome you and to have us jump in now to day number 19, subhanAllah. Tomorrow is going to be day number 20, then it's going to be last 10 nights, then it's going to be goodbye for now, subhanAllah. Not to get depressing all of a sudden. I'm going to quickly just enable your camera, so you guys are welcome to inshallah join me on screen, whoever is inshallah able to bless us with your presence here. We're very excited to jump in. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah to those of you who are saying your salams here in the chat. I see Sundas from France. I got Alani from Philippines. I've got Nemo from Pakistan. Jazakum Allah khair, Nemo, making it despite not feeling the best. May Allah grant you shifa. So we both, of course, from Lagos, Nigeria. We got Carrie, of course, always. Anam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to all of you who are always ready here and warming up with us every single day for our sessions. Alhamdulillah, we're wrapping up so many things. We're wrapping up the 10-day challenge tomorrow. I hope that you guys have had a chance to keep up with it. We've got our final Al-Maghrib webinar taking place tomorrow as well, inshallah, stories of accepted dua. MashaAllah, the team always knocks it out of the park with these topics, alhamdulillah. And of course, you guys hopefully have memorized some of these plugs that I've been saying by now. We are, as always, super, super grateful to our charity partners in Canada, the US, and the UK. In the US, we have, I'm waiting for Nemo or somebody to put into the chat, HHRD, yeah, close, HRH, close, HHRD, Helping Hands for Relief and Development. In Canada, we have, I hope you guys have memorized this by now, and I hope that you guys have given as well, loyally and consistently. You guys had a chance to hear from Islamic Relief. I see it coming down in the chat. And in the UK, we have, I hope that you guys, Forgotten Woman, there you go, alhamdulillah, ready with that one. May Allah bless and accept that from them. They've been so incredible with all the work. Honestly, we do the easy job, basically, of just bringing to attention. It's very hard to get people to part with their hard-earned money because you know there's other people that you need to serve who are in desperate need of it, people whose lives, whose sanity, whose comfort depends on it entirely. And it's hard to, I know it's jarring, especially in the last you know, 6 months that we've been exposed to so much experience, so many videos and pictures of such extreme suffering and just horrible treatment of the Palestinian people. But subhanAllah, I know, and you guys all know, that there's so many Muslims around the world who are also suffering. And these charities have been working tirelessly, some of them for decades, to bring that support to the front lines of the Ummah. So please do support them very generously and consistently throughout the last 10 nights as well, inshallah. And speaking of consistency, I know you guys have heard enough time from me the Give Daily plug and the mention of our Ramadan Daily Given campaign. If you benefited, you already, you know, you joined in that experience and you gave and you donated, may Allah reward you and make it heavy on your scale and make you grateful for it on the Day of Judgment. Ameen. But we, of course, have shifted gears, because now it's the final stretch. It's the last 10 nights. It's the final opportunities that you have, especially in the blessed times of the evening, where we have the opportunity to cash play with the Qadr. So we're, of course, sharing our last 10 nights campaign as well. So please do. That's on almaghrib.org/donate, inshallah. Please do consider supporting. We've been very smart. All the donations are going to go between 10 p.m. to 11:59 p.m. of the local time zone of the person who's registering for it, inshallah. So you catch it within, you know, after the Maghrib time, but before the next day begins, inshallah. And you catch consistently the last 10 nights. So do make sure that you are registering for that and share it with others as well. A lot of folks, sometimes they can't give every single day of Ramadan, even if it's a little. So make sure that you share it with others so that they want to really, really maximize, not want to miss a single one of those last 10 nights, whether you have a good day or a bad day, that they do register for almaghrib.org/donate. And we were just talking, you guys, some of you who came into the session may have had a little message showing that, oh, the session is still in progress. We were just talking about how many programs that we have. Like, you know, sometimes we just focus on one program that needs assistance and one specific part of the Maghrib family that we're, you know, whether it's for scholarships, whether it's for Maghrib productions or something. But mashallah, we've expanded so much over the years that there is now so many different parts of the Maghrib community, whether it's reverts, whether it's whether it's children, whether it's people who are trying to learn the Quran and don't have the capacity to, whether it's people who just have financial need and they need scholarships. We have so many different needs that we fulfill, alhamdulillah, within the Maghrib world. And by donating, you guys are able to facilitate that, alhamdulillah, as well. Of course, tomorrow's webinar has a different RSVP link. So just a reminder, folks, if you're already registered for Ramadan 360, make sure that you are registering separately for the webinar. That's ramadan360.org/webinar, so that you are in that kind of thing and you will get in that stream and you will get all the information that you need, inshallah. Tomorrow is going to be a big one. Yesterday was last week was a bit of a warm up. It was a taste of the experience. We've been like preparing nonstop for tomorrow, so I can't even wait. We have like four hosts. Usually it's one host doing like a marathon of a session, but it's going to be crazy tomorrow. And I look forward to you guys benefiting and getting that hype and getting that energy and getting the ability and inspiration to draw from us and from our shuyukh, inshallah, for the last 10 nights and the amazing du'as that you're going to be making then. With that said, alhamdulillah, as always, Ramadan 360 is an Maghrib Institute experience. It's our goal through these experiences for the last 22 years to make Islam easy and accessible and to provide you guys with authentic knowledge in a way that you can relate to. And one of the amazing instructors who makes that possible with his kind of wit, with his eloquence, with his just deep connection with the Maghrib student audience is Imam Yahya Ibrahim. He's a specialist in spirituality and Quran. He studied tafsir, fiqh, and hadith with scholars from Hijaz and Egypt. He's well-renowned in the West and in the East, mashallah, tabarakallah. And, you know, sought after by both Muslim and non-Muslim organizations to educate on topics of his specialty, on domestic violence, on misogyny, on gender discrimination, etc. And he's technically a Canadian. I don't know. He doesn't like to own that anymore. We can tell he doesn't have the full Australian accent yet, but he's shunned as Canadians for the beautiful land of Perth, Australia, mashallah. But he's originally from my ends, from Toronto, alhamdulillah. And you guys may have seen him across the Maghrib world over the last few years, teaching classes like The Prophet's Smile, Love Notes, on Faith Essentials, Marriage and Engagement, or through a Blessed Voyage Umrah experience, if you've been lucky enough to experience that with him. With that, I want to bring on Sheikh Yahya for day number 19 to take some time to educate us, inshallah. His topic today is the topic of repair of Islah, and we can't wait to jump right in. So let me just bring Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim on. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Sheikh, how are you doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I'm well. Mashallah. So, Hur is just coming to an end, and I'm going to get ready for Fajr immediately after, inshallah. Allah barik feekum.
MashaAllah. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh, always for spending your precious morning hours every single Ramadan with us, especially leading into the last 10 nights. Is it technically, I can never remember, is it your last 10 has started or it's going to start tomorrow?
So, So for us today, inshallah, we'll begin the countdown with you guys. And we pray that Allah accepts from all of us. Allahumma ameen.
All right, Sheikh, I've taken enough of your time. I can't wait to jump into your talk and to benefit from you. We'll be here at the end with questions. Bismillah, let's jump right in.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ba'd. As always, we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ni'amahu, zahiratan wa batina, to the plentiful ni'mah and graces that Allah has graced upon us, those that are apparent to us and those that are hidden. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us min al-muslihin, makes us from those who are rectifiers and reformers and repairers of our own lives and the lives of others, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses us for the upliftment of the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us in our hearts a desire to reform that is actually a corruption for the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala early on in the Quran, he says, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Do not cause corruption within, upon, throughout the earth after I have reformed it and rectified it and repaired it for you. And this is a really, you know, important concept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the earth in and of itself was not hospitable for humanity, just like the majority of what is within our solar systems and beyond. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but I'm the one who made this earth repaired for you and reformed for you, ready to receive you, O Adam and O children of Adam. قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. People eventually look upon what they do upon the earth and say, no, we're actually the reformers, we're the repairers, we're the fixers, we're the ones who are making the positive changes. And this is a really important place to begin when we speak about al-islah. At times, people, you'll hear them on an individual basis say, you know, I need to work on myself. I'm going to dedicate, you know, changing this in myself. And their assumption, of course, is that they are self-intuitive, that they're they're what they think is what they need is actually what they need. And when that decision is made absent from the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance sent to mankind, it actually leads a person to causing greater imbalance, disharmony, and corruption within themselves, internally, externally, and in effect of others around them. Now, of course, there's plentiful examples of this that you could see in the Quran of nations that were perished because of that mindset. You could see that in the modern day and time that we find ourselves in today, where there are advances in particular things, whether it's in particular forms of therapies, particular identity studies, particular whatever it is, to lead a person to a decision where what I feel necessarily means what is right. And if this feels right, then it's got to be acknowledged and accepted, even if it is something that goes against the grain of what is normally considered an abnormality in human morality, ethics, laws, since the beginning of time. And that becomes really important. The concept of Islah for us is not about pushing the edge. It's not about going beyond. It is really about recentering and refocusing and harmonizing with the revelation of Wahy. So we need to step, I know we only have 30 minutes together. We need to step back just one moment. The political, ideological, philosophical, spiritual ideology of a lot of the Western world, and we'll just use the Western world as a main construct, is that they believe in the concept of the thinking man, that a human being can just sit and think and ponder, even if they were just in a cave, and just keep thinking. And by them thinking, they can come to a determination of truth. Monotheistic faiths, cultures of the East, they believe, no, there is a guided thought to the thinking man, which is revelation. So we don't have a problem with thinking and reflecting. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ All of that is something that is very much a part of our faith. اقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ But that word, عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ That Allah reveals unto mankind what is not self-intuitive, what is not within one's ability to come to a point of rectifying, understanding, implementing, had it not been for the guidance of Allah. And that's why you find, لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهُ مَهْتَدَيْنَا That concept of us as believers, we believe, had guidance not been inspired to us, we would not find guidance on our own. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us emphatically in the Quran and warns the Prophet sallallahu إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ Not on account of you loving someone, even one as great as you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can that immediately be cause to lead them into accepting faith? So you find that there were people who were antagonists in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were from his family and were people who he loved. And Allah says, you love this person, even though they're an unbeliever, your uncle. But they are not going to come to faith just because you ask me and just because you have that connection with them, O Messenger of Allah. That's really important. So the guidance that is found, the guidance, the light, ala nurin min Allah, the light that is sent by Allah, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, the barakah of knowledge is not necessary, is not self-intuitive for us as human beings. It's not always self-evident. And it's not by how much you read or how much you memorize or how many degrees you have in Islam that aligns your heart in a harmonious way of seeking reform for yourself and others. There are many people who are illiterate in terms of the reading substance, reading and writing, but their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guided by their conviction in the revealed truth that they have come to know and absorb from the culture around them, from what they've understood as being the truth, leads them to a higher place with Allah than those who may be scholarly in the tradition and about faith and about Islam, but their hearts have not been guided with that light. And that's the very essential concept of taqwa. Talq ibn Habib, rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to say, التقوى هي أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله. التقوى, you know, that piety of heart, it means that you work and endeavor to put in effort in the obedience and in the fulfillment of God's orders upon you على نور من الله, from the light that was sent down by Allah. تَرْجُو ثَوَابَ اللَّهِ Seeking the reward from Allah. وَهِيَ أَن تَتْرُكَ مَعْصِيَةَ اللَّهِ It's to leave off disobeying Allah, using the light sent by Allah because you fear the punishment of Allah. The light of Allah therefore becomes central for us as a reformative process. And there is no ultimate islah. There is no reform. There is no repair. Spiritually, intellectually, physically, when it is absent from the underlying principles of guidance sent by Allah through revelation. So, how do we get to a place where we can bring together what we feel and what I think is, what do I think I need and what are people telling me I need to work on with improving myself using the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the first step, and we'll go through some quick steps inshallah, in the last 10 minutes that we have together or so. First is self-reflection and awareness. So from a psychology of redemption, you must come to a place where you are self-accounting, self-critical, self-blaming, self-reflecting, self-aware, that you do want to improve. you never assume yourself that I've come to a place where I'm elite and there's no more above me, that there isn't room for growth. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above every one manifested knowledge, there is one greater in knowledge. And why does Allah use knowledge in that capacity, that there is an infinite ascension until you get to the knowledge that is only reserved to Allah? Why is that important for us? وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Because as you come to learn, you come to learn of how ignorant you were before learning. And therefore, now that I know, then I know that there is more to know, which means I remain ignorant of certain aspects in my faith, in my life, in my self-worth, in my self-reflection. And therefore, one of the first steps is to reform, is to self-reflect, be introspective. Muslims are encouraged to be critical. Human beings are encouraged to reassess their thoughts, take command of their actions, be critical of their intentions, what I'm intending before, during, and after amal, whether it's of faith or worship or other, that I try to identify areas of improvement, that I try to consult and receive acknowledgement that these are shortcomings and sins within my heart, within my being, within my practice. And this self-awareness serves as a foundation of initiating the beginning of positive change. And if a person is not willing to confront themselves, is not willing to admit that there is room for improvement, if a husband is not willing to acknowledge they could be better, if a wife is not acknowledging that, yes, I can be softer, I can be gentler, I can be, if there is a son, a daughter who is unwilling to find within themselves the scope of being more dutiful and being more careful and being more conscious of how they speak to their parents, not just what they say, then the relationships that are intertwined in that familial process cannot find reform. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that it takes willing participants always on both sides whenever there is dissension and disharmony. Allah says in the Quran, إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا, that if the two aggrieved parties, husband and wife and their families, seek islah, they do want to self-reflect, they do want to be aware of where it is that they can improve. If they are willing to hear from each other, from each other's perspective, يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ, Allah can make tawfiq between them. But if one is set in stone, no, I'm right, there's no other way of looking at it, then it becomes difficult to make that change. Number two is, once a person has this understanding that, yes, I can be blameful, I can have within my heart the capacity to see where I have come wrong, there comes this central concept in Islah of not just the recognition, but seeking to make amends. We refer to that normally as tawbah and istighfar. And making tawbah is not necessarily an intellectual process. Sometimes it is entirely spiritual that leads to intellectual. And one of the best ways for a person to become regular in tawbah is not that I have to know what I did wrong and I have to acknowledge it first, but I have this heart that does see that there are moments in my life where I can commit wrong and not be aware of it. And the Prophet would make this dua. He would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Oh Allah, I ask you to protect me from ma a'lamu wa ma la a'lamu, from the sins that I'm aware of and the sins that I'm unaware of, from the problems that I know I've caused and from the problems that I didn't know I caused within myself and within others. So central to the concept of Islah is the recognition that I'm capable of making mistakes and that I have made mistakes that perhaps I'm not aware of, and that I seek to be sincere in my repentance to Allah and absolving of those mistakes that I have caused between myself and others. And Muslims are taught to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility. Your pretext, and the reason the Prophet ﷺ says to us, كل ابن آدم خطاء. Every human being is capable of sin. Is that you know you're a sinner. You acknowledge that. You know, I know as I stand in front of you, oh Allah, in the last 10 nights, I am a sinner, ya Allah. Whether I remember it, ما علمته وما لم أعلم. What I know and what I don't know. كبيره وصغيره. It's major and it's minor. It's hidden and it's open. It's past and it's present, and may Allah forgive me into the future. And that's why the Prophet is assured, you know, مَا عَمِلْتَهُ وَمَا لَمْ تَعْمَلْ. What you have done and what could come of you in the future, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So having a psychology of redeeming oneself and a psychology of reform is built and predicated on being self-aware and having a recantant tawab persona. Number three, well, how do I align what I feel of my negligence with whether it's true and how to repair it? It comes through acquaintance with the knowledge that is revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of thought. And therefore, we always seek to blend, yes, modern scientific processes with a guided process of revelation. We are not distant from, you know, modern interventions and medical interventions. We have no problem with that at all as human beings and as Muslims. Rather, we encourage it as long as it's guided by the light of truth that we seek that aligns with the Quran. And we're encouraged to study the Quran. We're encouraged to study the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We're encouraged to seek sources of important inspiration and ideals and morals that were found in the Quran as previous lessons unto mankind. Number four is the production of virtue. And one of the best ways for us to be reformers is to just set a mandate of pushing out good deeds, pushing out good words, pushing out good demeanor, pushing out forgiveness, pushing out, you know, virtue, that you are a virtuous person. You know, subhanAllah, may Allah make us of those whose deeds are virtuous and plentiful. And when you make dua for somebody to have a long life, you must couple it with وَعَمَلْ صَالِحٍ. You know, اللَّهُمَّ أَطِلْ عُمْرَهُ. May Allah give this person a long life. وَأَحْسِنْ لَهُ فِي عَمَلِهِ. And put ihsan and goodness in the pursuit of their amal, O Allah. Right? Being a virtuous deed production factory is the mindset of a believer who seeks islah. Because as you perform your acts of ibadah, as you perform your devotions, and as you do it with sincerity, and as you embody moral virtue, and as you sit between two aggrieved people, and as you display honesty, as you display kindness, as you become more patient, as you persevere, as your generousness is given to those who would not be generous to you, as your spirit is expansive to bear the burdens that other put upon you, as your interactions with others have a wall of virtue that surrounds you, it becomes an impediment to sin, to becoming more manifest and more capital in your life. It's a barrier. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he speaks about how to achieve taqwa, he says, وَصَوْمُ جُنَّةً. Fasting is a shield. وَإِنَّ الصَّدَقَ. And your charity, تُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبِّ كَمَا تُطْفِئُ الْمَاءُ النَّارِ. That your charity in secret extinguishes the wrath of Allah that you have incurred upon yourself, the way water puts out fire. So becoming a virtuous machine, a practitioner of virtue, where in your mind, it's not necessarily, I'm doing this to cancel this out. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ سَيَّاتِ. The good deeds cancel out bad deeds. But it's not necessarily, oh, I did this, so I need to do 10 hasanat to cancel this out. No, it's just my mindset is a mindset of, I just want to keep doing good. I committed a sin, I still pray. I'm fasting Mondays and Thursdays. I'm praying tahajjud. I'm giving in charity. I'm being kind. I'm being empathetic. I forgave somebody who may not have forgiven me. And you continue seeking to read from the Quran and to learn it, to gain that knowledge that becomes necessary. Another important consideration is seeking to build a string of virtuous deeds that become a habit. So although I'm a factory of good deeds, I want to have a production line, and I want that production line to be consistent. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that something small that is consistent over time compounds into something better than doing the one-off, right? It's better to have a savings plan of small good deeds regularly that compound with Allah adhaf and mudha'afa than for me to just do that one-off and then I go back to doing whatever recklessness I had in my life. So cultivating a positive habit and routines of worship, of reflection, of Quran wird, sections of the Quran that I read every day, of aligning myself to a Quran class, of enrolling in the 360 programs and the Ramadan program, of having seeking to be part of the Murabbi program where I'm taken on and being mentored by others, incorporating habits of dhikr and of a particular set of salawat and durood upon the Prophet ﷺ each and every day, maintaining a balanced lifestyle of exercise and good nutrition because I want to remain healthy into my years so I can continue to worship Allah and continue to make sujood into my 70s. All of that becomes a positive habit-building process that's not just I'm pushing out good deeds, but now I'm streamlining important processes. Consultation and seeking guidance and finding support. And, even Muhammad ﷺ needed Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. And they were أَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. The Prophet would speak to them and consult with them and ask them and favor their opinions over others. And having people in your life that are knowledgeable, having people in your life that have a heart of taqwa, having people in your life, you assume inshallah, having people in your life who are willing to continue in their self-reformation and assist you in yours and are willing to receive insight from you into where they can continue to mature and improve, all of that becomes powerful. And the best place for you to turn for that are the inner family and the companions that you align your life with. And you have to choose who you are friends with, not just become friends by accident. You know, if there's any advice that I can give to younger people, and now that I'm in my, 47th year, subhanAllah, is to choose your friends. Allahu Akbar. Like, don't become friends by accident. And you're like, oh, how long have I known this person? And it's like, there was no mandate behind it. There was no thought behind it. The Prophet ﷺ did not just all of a sudden, Abu Bakr was just there. No, he was his friend. He was his friend for years, even before revelation. So he remains his friend after, because Abu Bakr is a bright soul. Same with Uthman and Ali and Umar radiallahu anhu. These were virtuous people before Islam and after Islam. And it's, it becomes important that we kind of look at the substance of the people. You are the sum of all those you have made into your life. You are the sum average of your best friends. So if you look around, you got 10 best friends. You are the average of them. And if you see something, you're like, no, I don't like that. Then that's, an important consideration. You need to, choose and be very choosy with the cast that you have in your life. And finally, and I know my time is coming to an end, is as-sabr wal-musabara, isbiru wa-sabiru. Subhanallah, patience and endurance and achieving over the long term with Allah is more important than the small goals and small wins. It's more important than the things that we do in isolation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an opportunity to push forward in life and to seek to remain vigilant and patient, to have the rippling waves of our life, that the point source of it was the revelation of Allah, and every ripple that extends from it is something that is of benefit that we're willing to sustain. As we go up and as we crest the wave and come crashing down, there is always going to be Allah in our life, in our heart, in our ideals, in our approach. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you and I tawfiq, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us min al-muslihin, not just salihin. I end with that. Many of us, alhamdulillah, we are salih, we live a good life and we try our best. And, you know, people will say, mashallah, hadha rajul salih, hadhi imra'a saliha. That man, that woman, they're good people, mashallah. But that's not enough. Being a good person was not enough for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He needed to leverage that goodness into other people's life. And that's the difference between being salih and muslih. Salih is that I'm good unto myself and my home and my family, and that's it. I don't care about anybody else. Muslih is that I have that empathetic desire to an altruistic, virtuous intent to help in other people's perspectives and lives, to bring goodness into other people's lives. And may Allah make you a conduit of good, a bridge to righteousness. May Allah make you a salvation to your home and your family and to those beyond. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a mandate of life of seeking to go past ourselves and to look outward into the world and become beacons of light. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads people to a nur through our habits and behaviors. Allahumma akhrijna min al-dhulumati ila nur. O Allah, extract us from the many darknesses that surround us and bring us to the light, ya Allah. Allahumma barik lana fima razaqtana wa qina adhab an-nar. O Allah, put barakah in whatever rizq you have given us and protect us from the punishment of hellfire. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. We have wronged ourselves before you, O Allah. Wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna. If you don't forgive us and show us your mercy, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We remain as sinners and losers before you. رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا. O Allah, upon you we put our trust, and to you we make our return and our repentance. وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. We recognize that there's no inevitability except in returning to you. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O Allah, bring for us from our homes and our families and our spouses and our children that which is pleasing to us. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us guides unto the righteous, that they find reference to truth through our conduct and behavior and attitude. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ruzuqna hubba nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ta'atihi fi sirri wal alaniya. O Allah, we ask you to make the way of the Prophet ﷺ and our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all aspects of our life, that which is private to us and in our privacy, and that which is publicly declared. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adjusts our homes with the Quran and tempers our personality with our fasting and increases our rizq with our charity. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with return time and again for Hajj and Umrah to purge ourselves of our inequities within ourselves and others. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to send his unending blessings of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and join us with him in the highest levels of Jannah. Allahumma ameen.
Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakum Allah khair, Sheikh Yahya, for this beautiful gift of this session and this dua as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to implement these lessons into our lives and repair our relationships with others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Hearing you speak is like a mixture of like a poetry that speaks to both the mind and the heart, subhanAllah. Now, I know we have some time at the very end here for some questions. For those who I received one privately earlier as well. For those who have questions on today's topic of repair, please do put it into the chat privately for me so that I don't miss it, because the chat just keeps going and going and I can't keep up. So the first question that I received was, I know, Sheikh, this is a heavier one. It's hard to kind of tackle it so quickly in this type of a setting, but as best as you can, how can a child who is physically abused by his father repair the relationship with his father? He says that he has forgiven him, but he hates his father.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't really care what your feelings are towards your father. I only care actually about what actions you will perform. So it may be that your feelings are not one of love and repair, but your actions need to align with the intentional spirit of Islam. So what I would say to you is you would need therapy. There would be necessary interventions from a clinical perspective, from a spiritual perspective. All of that is something that I'm going to assume that you, inshallah, are going to work towards. But I'm speaking to you as an individual absent of your father now. So my counsel to you would be, all right, begin with the small things that are necessary. Begin with something small that is necessary. What is necessary? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. If all I can do is that I just don't just, oh man, I don't want to even look at him. Okay, restrain that. So begin with that. Begin with actions that you can build on as you go through your moments of therapy, as you go through rectifying your heart, as you go through clinical interventions, as you go through some of those necessary processes to bring you to a more holistic perspective in dealing with each other, monitor your conduct. And it's easy to say, you know, when I was young, this used to happen to me, so I'm not going to do anything now. I'm going to say to you, no, it's better for you to make gestures of righteousness for your own better, for your own self. And it's better for your children to see that from you as you mature. It's better for your children to see from you that you honor your father, even if you were dishonored by your father. Even if there were things that you're not happy with your father, it's better for you to have a sense of honor in how you conduct yourself than to have others than to be held hostage by that past. So there will be things that are traumatic, and I can't ask you for the world. I can't ask you that you're going to treat him the way, you know, other people treated others. But there's an example of Prophet Ibrahim with his father Azar in the Quran for that very reason. You are not unique. You are not in a place where this is something nobody else has endured before you. And whatever toxicity that you may have experienced, you're going to have to deal with it in various ways. But at the end of the day, don't replicate that toxicity with your words and your actions towards them. May Allah protect us all, Ya Rabb.
You know what I mean? The next question that I have, again, it's a heavier one, if, as best as you can summarize, Sheikh, is how do you suggest to repair yourself from a divorce of a marriage of 26 years?
Alhamdulillah, alladhi najjakum. Alhamdulillah, who saved you. You know, it could have been 27 years and it could have been 30 years. And, it could have been that you might find yourself in a place where there are men and women who are held hostage and they haven't been able to find that divorce. So alhamdulillah that Allah has caused for the circumstances to come, that you are now in a place where you are beyond that. And you have, exited from it. So now it's a new page and it's a new chapter. And there are things that are going to be bitter and there are things that are going to be sweet. And that's the same with every aspect in life. So what I would say to this brother or sister, I'm not sure, what I would say to you, if you were somebody who was within my family, within my household, the first thing I'm going to say, alhamdulillah, you know, it's over. Khalas. Right? Alhamdulillah. Now what? Well, take a little bit of time, take a little bit of pause. You know, there's a reason why we have, especially for women, that lag period between divorce and remarrying. There's a reason why a man cannot even interact with you and even suggest to you, you know, during that lag period, because you're in a vulnerable and difficult state. So just push back and just enjoy yourself. And if you can afford it, go to Umrah. Cry your heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brother. Stand in a rukn, stand, you know, under a pillar in Mecca al-Mukarramah, and just, you know, just release all this 26 years of anxiety, whatever it is that was there for you, and take pause and just put pause on this relationship, on whatever it is, and then deal with the consequences of it. Oh, there's children. How are we going to deal with custody? Attend to it with a heart that is not blinded by vengeance. Attend to it with a heart that is not poisoned by people's ill advice to you, meddling advice. Oh, he did that. He did. You got to take everything from him. You can't. Don't let him see the kids unless he does this. You know, that kind of stuff is going to cause you to relive horrors. So attend to it with a righteous counsel. People who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have your interest in it, and set forward, a mandate of 5 things that now I need to work on. I got kids. What am I going to do with the kids? How can I make sure that she sees their mom, they see their dad, and that they find balance? They see that we practice the sunnah. Because if your kids see you misabusing and trash talking their father or their mother outside their absence, who they still love, they're going to disrespect you in the future. That teenage daughter is going to look you one day in the face and say, "Mom, you've always made me hate my dad." And she'll be 26 years old on her wedding day, and she's going to have resentment towards you. Wallahi, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah azza wa jal. So deal with the kids. Deal with your financial circumstances. There's always financial fallout. But be equitable. Find somebody who is going to govern with the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sharia of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Find an honest, righteous mediator who will look after your interest from the sharia perspective, the interest of your family from the sharia perspective, from an equitable perspective, one that is aligned to goodness and truth. Number three is deal with your own baggage, not the baggage of other people. What am I carrying now? And begin to unburden, begin to take things out of your baggage. There are physical mementos you need to get rid of. There's all these different things that we have. Begin to get rid of those things one at a time, and then repack your baggage, right? Nobody wants to. Everybody, I don't want any baggage in my life. I don't want to marry somebody with baggage. No, just repack it, rebalance it. What's your carry-on? What's your heavy, what's going to go in the undercarriage of the plane? There's two different things. Some things are storage, some things that you keep with you. Number four, as a believer, know that everything that happened was better for us with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you going through a bitter divorce can be the stepping stone to a life of happiness in singlehood for a number of years before you find somebody else. And sometimes people panic. It's like, I've never not been with, someone, and and then they make bigger mistakes. There are people out there in the world, and this is finally number five, be wary of the sharks where they sense blood in the water and they begin to circle around you. And all of a sudden that man, he just keeps calling and messaging, and who is it? And it's not out of genuineness. Be careful with the sharks who begin to swarm, because, those are moments of difficulty that can be compounded when you let your guard down. So be careful and take good counsel with the righteous. May Allah give us all shifa and healing. And alhamdulillah, it was 26 years and not 27. Alhamdulillah, you still have an opportunity to find comfort with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, this advice is just general. I'm not speaking to your particular case, my dear brother, my dear sister. It's not my place to do so, but these are just general reflections. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Yahya. What a thorough and complete piece of advice. SubhanAllah, I didn't think you'd have the ability to do the justice, but I under, what's the word for it? For you. But alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. It's a pleasure. And I know it was healing for a lot of folks in the chat that this is exactly what they needed to hear in a variety of circumstances and situations. It's a blessing to have you back, Sheikh. We're looking forward to having you tomorrow, inshallah, for our webinar on accepted du'a and hearing your reflections, inshallah, and your sharing tomorrow. So jazakumullah khair for being here for Ramadan 360 once again and benefiting our community. And subhanAllah, I don't know how you're awake and coherent and guiding us during your sahur time. You're, mashallah, an inspiration to us all. It's a pleasure to have you back, Sheikh Yahya. Inshallah, we'll see you very soon.
Jazakumullah anna khair al-jazah. May Allah give you a blessed end to your fasting, or a great beginning to it, inshallah. And make sure that the Quran is a part of your life in these last 10 nights. Reading, hearing, looking. Even just looking at the Mus'haf is ibadah. Look through the Mus'haf if you are listening to it, inshallah. Allahi barik.
Beautiful advice. Jazakallah khair. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim on day 19 of Ramadan 360 on the topic of Islah repair. I hope that you guys benefited immensely from that session. It's so frustrating when the shuyukh are so eloquent and then you forget your words. SubhanAllah. But mashallah, Sheikh Yahya knocks it out of the park every single time. For those who came a little bit late, I know a lot of folks joined later in the session. Make sure you don't miss that you catch up to what you missed out on, and you catch up to the notes as well. Jazakumullah khair, Suri, and to the rest of the community who's been itemizing and sharing the notes on Padlet and through the chat as well. Please make sure you also share on Telegram for those who are only catching up to the session recording. Sheikh Yahya just mentioned about spending lots of time with the Quran, and alhamdulillah, we're in that habit through our 10-day Quran challenge. When we're talking about recitation and perfecting that, and at the tajweed, and of course now through the Quran reflect sessions where we get a chance to reflect and to the dhabr as a community and individually as well. Alhamdulillah, what a blessing that is. I can't wait to jump into today's Quran reflect with Usada Taymiyah, who inshallah take us down that journey as well, and to hear from you guys as well. Reminder as always for the Names of Allah YouTube series with Sheikh Ammar Shukri. Today's name was Al Wudud. Beautiful name, beautiful reflections from Sheikh Ammar. Make sure especially that if you missed any of those sessions, that you catch up as much as possible and that you pick a few names of Allah that you personally connect with a lot, so that you can really make sure that you utilize them in your du'as and you really feel that emotional connection when you're asking Allah in these last 10 nights, especially. One more time, of course, I always want to share with you guys, like I mentioned earlier, that we're not doing daily given now as much anymore. Mashallah, those who are inconsistently, included, in, who are consistently included in the daily giving, you guys have gained your ajr, and mashallah, your consistent rewards are coming through. For those who want to maximize for the last 10 nights, especially during the blessed times of the evening where we're trying to all, race to catch Laylatul Qadr, make sure that you do sign up for almaghrib.org/donate for the last 10 night campaign, inshallah. And inshallah, that fund will be taken out from your account, inshallah, in the evening time, wherever you guys are specifically located, so that you guys can maximize that ajr, inshallah, as well. Once again, honestly, I'm humbled, subhanAllah, every single time, every single year, Sheikh Yahya comes in his fajr time and his suhoor time and spends time with us. Sometimes he's sipping his final kind of sips of water to catch that last bit of time before he's not able to eat all day, subhanAllah. Sometimes there's like roosters going on in the background, you can tell. Sometimes the sun's just coming in. It's very humbling to have him part of this community, and even all the way in the corner from Canada now in Perth, Australia, to keep himself engaged and benefiting our audience and our students and our community. It's just amazing. Or his cats join us. Yes, we miss the cats this year, subhanAllah. But alhamdulillah, we'll see more of him tomorrow, inshallah. Look forward to that. And of course, Uzad Taymiyah, who mashallah has been with us every single day, nonstop. Usually we break it up. We have a few instructors doing Quran Reflect, and I was subhanAllah shocked at how she was able to facilitate so far. Please keep our instructors in your du'as, because I have a hard time speaking for a little bit. My mouth gets dry. I start to have to wipe my mouth a little bit in between sessions. And it's incredible how they're going from session to session, 30 minutes, an hour, so many, back to back, to try to make sure that they're maximizing the benefit to the community. May Allah, forgive them, make it heavy on their scales, and make them, of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ on the Day of Judgment. With that said, let's jump in. Let's start our own reflections. Let's jump into day number 19 of Quran Reflect and spend some time with the Quran, inshallah, with Usada Taymiyah. I know she's been patiently with us from the very beginning of this session. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Usada, how are you doing this fine Jum'ah?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, I'm feeling very uplifted.
Alhamdulillah.
Listening to Sheikh Yahya. Alhamdulillah. Such good advice. Really soothing, very uplifting. Alhamdulillah. Very, very positive. Alhamdulillah.
Beautiful. I'm glad to hear that, Usada. I can't wait to jump into your session. I will share my little reflection or testimonial before we jump in, subhanAllah. Yeah. I feel like this has been my most emotionally connected year to the Quran to date. And honestly, no plugging, no nothing. Since we did our purified course pre-Ramadan, we did Lost in Translation with Sheikh Wadid. It kind of got me into that mindset of connecting with specific words, with specific ayat. Certain things pop into my head and I have an emotional connection. Then certain names of Allah, now I know so much better. So this community itself, it's facilitated. I hope that you guys feel the same way, is mm-hmm. that last night's Tarawih, like, it's building on top of itself. It's getting better and better. And I hope that Allah makes it heavy on your skills, Ustada, and all the instructors who facilitated this connection here. And I know I've heard so much of the same in the chats. So jazakumullah for facilitating that for us, and I can't wait to jump into our session for today.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil kareem. So the word islah in its various forms occurs about a little over 40 times in the Quran. And the word islah means to repair and to mend what has been ruptured. So it is to restore something to its proper, correct state. All right. So islah, by definition, means that you have messed up. You have made a mistake. You have done something wrong, or that there is some kind of conflict. All right. Because it is to set something right back again. It is to bring something back to its correct and proper state. All right. And islahu dhati bayn, yani it is to mend the relationships between people. So when there is conflict, to resolve that would be islah dhati bayn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Anfal, wa aslihu dhati baynikum, that fear Allah and fix that which is between you, meaning fix your relationship, mend that. Now, islah is the opposite of ifsad. Ifsad is to cause corruption, to damage, to rupture, to ruin, to spoil something that is good. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that He has created the world is that it is good, right? As we learn in the Quran, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Meaning the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the earth is that it is in a good and proper state. But then what happens? We create some kind of disturbance. We create some kind of disorder. So islah is to mend what has been ruptured, what has been ruined or disturbed. Now, when a person learns, right, and alhamdulillah, over the past 2-3 weeks, we have been studying about different virtues, different qualities that we should adopt, different concepts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized in His book. Now, what happens is that when you learn, you are able to see many things. And part of the things that you begin to see is also your own faults, right? Your own weaknesses, your own struggles. Like, for example, when we learned about haya, about modesty, right? When we learned about husnul khuluq, about good character, I'm sure you thought to yourself, well, this is something that I really need to work on. And I'm sure as you were attending class, maybe, a thought came to your mind that, yeah, this is something that I'm going to work on and I'm not going to make this mistake again. But then what happens? You step out of class and because you're human, you get angry, you're fasting, you're tired, you're sleep deprived, and you lose your cool, right? And then after a few moments, you realize I have messed up again, right? Now, the thing is that when we learn about our mistakes, this is something that can lead to a lot of shame, and it can lead to a lot of guilt, and it can also lead to a lot of self-loathing. And this is where the beautiful concept of islah comes in to give us that hope and guidance as to how to mend and how to fix and how to repair what we have damaged. Now, the first thing is that there is no such thing as a perfect human being, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in Hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that kullu bani Adam khata, that all of the children of Adam are khata, yani they make mistakes. So as a slave of Allah, you make mistakes. As a spouse, you make mistakes, right? You mess up. As a parent, you make mistakes. As a son, as a daughter, you make mistakes, right? We all struggle in all of our relationships. But then what should we do when we realize that we've done something wrong? That when we may have said something that has caused some damage to ourselves or to other people. There's several options. One option is that we persist in our errors because we say we believe about ourselves that we are unfixable. And unfortunately, many of us think about ourselves so negatively that we think, you know what, I'm unfixable. This is just who I am. I just don't have good akhlaq. I'm just, you know, I just don't have sabr, right? I am just a bad person. I'm unfixable, so forget about this, right? Or sometimes we just want to move on and pretend like we never made that mistake. We just want to rely on, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's incredible mercy and, you know, not worry about correcting our behavior or our actions. But neither of these approaches is actually effective. Because if we persist in our errors, guess what? One bad deed leads to another bad deed, right? If you don't repair, if you don't do islah, then what's going to happen? One sin is going to lead to another. And if you move on and pretend like you didn't hurt the other person, right? Then what's going to happen? You are causing more damage to the relationship, right? So what we need is islah. And if you think about it, it is islah what differentiated Adam alayhi salam from Iblis, right? If you think about it, Adam alayhi salam made a mistake, right? He ate from the forbidden tree, one thing he was told not to do, and he made that mistake, right? And Iblis, what did he do? He was told to make one sajda, just one prostration, and Iblis refused. But what did Adam alayhi salam do? Adam alayhi salam, you know, he admitted that he made a mistake and he turned back to Allah, right? He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and Iblis did not do that. So when we look at the different verses in the Quran, we see that islah includes a number of things. The first thing is that islah means that you have hope in Allah's mercy and you don't despair. And you don't think about yourself that I am unfixable, that there is no hope for me, that this relationship can never be fixed, or I can never, you know, mend my akhlaq, right? Or my behavior. No, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, that do not despair of the mercy of Allah, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you when you strive. And part of this is that when you identify certain things in your behavior, you separate your behavior from who you are as a person. Recognize that, yes, I made a mistake. I yelled, I should not have yelled, right? Or I just bragged about my good deed and wasted my reward, and I should not have done that, right? So recognize that this is a behavior. This is not who I am. I want to be a muttaqi. I want to be a person, you know, who has taqwa of Allah, who is a person of ihsan, who is just, right? Who is a mukhlis, who is sincere to Allah. This is who I want to be, all right? And the mistakes that I'm making, they are occurrences, but they don't define me. And this can only happen when you have hope in the mercy of Allah and you're not despairing. The second thing is i'tiraf al-dhanb, right? Recognize, acknowledge the mistake that you have made, right? Name what happened and take responsibility for your behavior. Like Adam alayhi salam, he said, Rabbana dhalamna anfusana. Our Lord, we have wronged ourselves, right? We have made a mistake. What did Iblis do? Iblis blamed Allah. He said, Rabbi bima aghwaytani. You led me astray. Subhanallah. And sometimes when we are, you know, when we realize we've done something wrong, we've hurt someone, you know, we are apologizing, but in that apology, we're actually blaming the other person, right? Like, for example, we tell our own younger sibling, well, if you hadn't said that to me, I would not have lashed out. Right? I'm sorry I lashed out, but you said what you said and it made me angry. You made me so angry that I had no other option. So this is not really an apology. This is basically blaming the other person, right? Then the next thing is Seek forgiveness, right? Apologize. As we see Adam alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. He said, "Wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin." Oh Allah, if you don't forgive us, you don't have mercy on us, we're going to be of the losers. We desperately need your forgiveness, right? And then part of islah is that you focus on the next steps, all right? And this is very, very important. You state what you're going to do different next time, okay? So for example, you were in a heated discussion with your spouse and you ended up saying something that was very hurtful, right? So you, when you're cool, you go and you tell them, "Hey, I'm sorry about what I said. You're not what I said you are. I was angry and I am working on keeping myself more calm, and I'm trying to figure out how to communicate more effectively." All right. So you state what you're going to do next, what you're going to do differently next time. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. So for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 160, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا, except for those who repent, وَأَصْلَحُوا, and then they repair, وَبَيَّنُوا, and then they make clear what they previously concealed. All right, they repented from the sin of concealing the truth, concealing the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, right? So then they repent from that, they repair, and they make clear what they concealed. Yani they do things differently now, right? They fix the behavior to the best of their ability. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah 146, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding the hypocrites that إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا, except for those who repent, وَأَصْلَحُوا, and they make reforms, وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِاللَّهِ, and they hold on to Allah. They hold on to Allah because previously they did not. When they go to pray, they pray lazily. They don't remember Allah at all. But now after tawbah, they hold on to Allah. وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. Now they do things differently. They make their religion, their worship sincere. You know, they do it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So part of islah is that now you change your course, right? You don't just apologize and try to mend, but you have to change your course. And then we see in the Quran that the repentance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts is the repentance that is with islah. And this is mentioned over and over again in the Quran. In Surah Ali Imran, verse 89, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا, except for those who repent after that and then mend, they repair, they make reforms, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 39 also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَن تَابَ مِن بَعْدِ ظُلْمِهِ, whoever repents after his wrongdoing, وَأَصْلَحَ, and makes reforms, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ, then Allah turns in mercy on this person, Allah accepts the repentance of this person. And there's many verses in the Quran that mention this. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the people who do islah, the people who are muslihin, who are repairing not only their relationship with Allah, but also their relationship with other people or the relationships that exist between people, because sometimes it's not the conflict that you have with someone, but the conflict between people that you witness. All right. So islah is needed over there too. You can't just worry about yourself. You also have to be concerned about other people. So those who do islah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us two good news about them in the Quran. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 170, that inna la nudhi'u ajra al-muslihin, that indeed we do not allow to go waste the reward of those who do islah. Meaning those who are focused on repair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste their reward. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly reward them. So as long as you're working on improving yourself, right? This is a constant part of life. So as long as you're striving, you're mending, you're repairing, you are going to be rewarded. And yes, there's going to be some wins and there's going to be some losses. But as long as you're on the right track, that every time you see yourself making a mistake, you pick up, you get up, you repair. And then we also learn in Surah Hud, ayah 117, that the second good news, that وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِيُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى بِظُلْمٍ وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. That when there are reformers in a community, when there are people who are working on reforming, not just themselves, but others as well, by commanding what is right, forbidding what is wrong, informing people, teaching people, then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not destroy them as a whole. So they are protected from the punishment of Allah as long as they are working towards islah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to realize our mistakes and give us the courage to take responsibility and work towards repair. There's a beautiful dua in which it's reported in Sunan Abi Dawud, in which we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to pray for repair in our relationships. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina wa aslih dhata baynina. That, O Allah, join our hearts and aslih dhata baynina, repair, mend the conflict that is between us, between me and other people, or between us people, our social relationships. Wahdina subul as-salam, and guide us to the ways of peace, meaning the ways that lead to paradise. Wanajjina min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur, and deliver us from darknesses into light. And the dua is longer, but just this part, wa aslih dhata baynina. And it's very, very effective, very beautiful, especially if you're struggling in, your relationships, maybe constant conflict with the spouse, with parents, with siblings. Increase in this, or even with a co-worker, make this dua a lot, inshallah. All right, let's hear from you now. Bismillah, raise your hand, and inshallah you can take the mic. Go ahead, Noor, bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, I want to reflect on repair that an incident of my childhood, and I used to play with two children. Like, I was in higher standard and they were in lower standard. I used to go visit and they were so adorable, but they were very they don't used to talk to anyone. Like, they are some annoying type. They don't talk to anyone and they are with them only. So I daily went to them and talked to them, and one day they just repair, I mean they just changed, and they become very they initially they don't talk to me, but with constant efforts they change themselves, and they are loving towards me as well.
MashaAllah. See, Allah does not waste the reward of those who try to repair things. SubhanAllah. Beautiful. Jazakallah khairan for sharing. Next person.
Jazakallah khairan, Noor, beautiful reflection. Zahra, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to mention...
Oh, sorry, Zahra, I muted you by accident. I meant to mute somebody else. Go right ahead. Please unmute yourself. That was my mistake.
I just mentioned that when Zemia was when you mentioned like Iblis and Adam alayhi salam, they tend to like contrast themselves very much in that, like, how can I say it? So for example, when you said that, like, Iblis said that Allah, you led me astray, he kind of explained it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then after it reminded me of when Adam said the Adam recited words from his Lord, and his Lord turned towards him. So then, like, when I thought of it, I thought that like when you were talking about how we can change and stuff like that, I kind of thought of it as like, you see how Adam was inspired with the words so he can seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, like, yeah, so then so I was thinking that the way Adam alayhi salam was granted words to seek forgiveness, it also comes to him maintaining the change of when he repents, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? So, like, for example, like, you see how it says, like, hawla wa quwwata illa billah, like, there's no change, nor, there's no change, there's no change or power but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I found that myself, that when I used to, like, repent, and, like, I used to depend upon myself and say, Zora, you're going to change this way, that way, and then I'll maintain it for a few days, and then after it will go down the bin, if that makes sense. And so then it's only when I actually made the dua and I depended upon Allah completely and wholly, and I told him that I wanted to change, and then after that's when I saw, like, a long-term change, if that makes sense.
It does make
And I just wanted to mention one thing as well, is that you see when, like, we're seeking repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one thing I've noticed with the shaitan is that he tends to work with habits. Like, he starts from something small, and after he works, like, in small steps, and then after those small steps become a loop, and that loop will essentially become a habit eventually. So then after, but then with all habits, like, there's, like, a trigger to the habit, if you know what I mean. Like, there's something that initiates the habit. So then, like, if he wants, this is just for everyone, like, just from my own experience, is that it can it's just to look at that trigger, look at that thing that, just look at the trigger that causes you to turn to that action, to that sin, basically.
Jazakumullah khair, Zohar.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing your personal experience and your reflection as well, mashallah. Next, let's hear from Sister Aisha, inshallah, and then we'll take Sister Carrie.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this verse reminded me about a personal situation that happened with a friend. And we had a little fallout. We were we're roommates in school. So we had a little fallout, and that seemed to prolong for some time. And I decided that let me just reach out to her and then say hello. And something that could have degenerated into a longer conflict or a longer disagreement, we became best of friends, and we've been friends since then for almost 10 years now, and we are still very good friends. So this is something that came to my mind. I said, started to share. Jazakumullah khair.
It reminds me of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that, you know, when there's two brothers who are, any brothers in faith who are not talking to each other, right? The one who initiates the greeting, okay, is the one who is the better of the two of them, because he initiates the greeting of salam to start a conversation, and from that repair the relationship. So somebody has to take that first step, and whoever takes that first step is better of the two in the sight of Allah.
Subhanallah. Jazakumullah khair. Next, let's hear from Carrie, inshallah, and then it'll be Razan. And guys, just a reminder, please keep your reflections as short as you can. We want to sneak in as many folks as we can before we close off, inshallah, today. And we try to finish by 6:15 every day. Go ahead, Carrie. Bismillah.
We can't hear you.
Sorry, Carrie, we're having trouble with your mic. Give it a sec, inshallah. All right, right where Carrie tries to fix that, inshallah, we'll hear from Razan. Go ahead, Razan, Bismillah.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustaza.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.
My reflection is, the more you repented to Allah, then Allah will forgive you all your sin. Jazakallahu khair.
Barakallah fiki. I'm starting to really look forward to these one-liners from Razan every single time.
I love them. Mashallah.
Mashallah. Next, let's hear from Kanwal. And Carrie, let me know in the chat if your audio is good. You can just test it for me. Kanwal, go ahead.
Am I audible enough?
Yep.
Okay. Yes.
So today I have really seen the intersection of secular therapy and guidance in the Quran. And it's just the same. The social philosophies that I've learned are all defined in the Quran, and it's my sorry state that I have come to realize it so late. So the one that I really want to reflect on is when you and when Imam Yahya mentioned about Islam is making an effort to be towards growth, to be towards an overall positive state. So as far as the curve is showing growth, you're on a right track. One may fall, but it's the ability to get up and fix the wrongdoings. And this is what I've really learned in the social psychological world, but it's in the book.
It is in the book, subhanAllah.
So that's my reflection. Thank you.
This is why in one of the narrations, we learned that whoever wishes to gain knowledge, فليثور القرآن, then he should study the Quran thoroughly. يثور, and he don't just do a superficial reading, but a deep study, and over again. Why? Because in it is the knowledge of the first and the last. This is the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the people from earlier times and also what's going to happen later. So if you want to learn, this is where you go. And sadly, we think that knowledge is everywhere but the Quran. So we spend our lives studying one thing after the other. And when it comes to the study of the Quran, we think that, you know, it's for people who have nothing else to do. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. All right. Finally, just because I know Carrie's mic is still working, we'll take one last reflection, keep it short, inshallah, and then we'll close off, inshallah, for today. Carrie, bismillah, let's hear from you. Oh, no. Sorry, hun. You're muted still. Give it another try to unmute.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
Awesome. Yay. Alhamdulillah. Just to point out one interesting point. If we notice that everything was directed towards us, so we're not waiting on somebody else. And that is so freeing when you are not waiting on somebody to see where they have offended you or they have hurt you. You immediately start to think, okay, well, what was my contribution to the confusion, to the disconnect, to the static in this relationship? And as a person who prides themselves on continually working on my self-improvement, that was one of the first things that really gave me a sense of relief, because if you are waiting on somebody else, you're going to be waiting for a long time. So you might as well go ahead and see where you were at fault and work on that. And people really appreciate that when you come to them with a problem, that you're not just coming with a complaint, but you're also coming in with where you see you went wrong, and also to come with some solutions. So that also helps, that even if you do have a valid complaint with somebody else, that you don't just come with a complaint. You come in where maybe you could have been more receptive or more transparent, and how you think things can be repaired and both of you can move forward together.
MashaAllah.
Jazakallah khair. That was excellent.
Very well said. Jazakallah khair. With that, Jazakallah khair, Ustada. That was day number 19. We made it through the first 19, almost 20 days, alhamdulillah, of Ramadan. Jazakallah khair for facilitating our Quran reflections, inshallah. Inshallah, we'll see you tomorrow as we kick off day number 20. And of course, for our webinar as well, Ustada, you'll be highlighting there as well. Looking forward to that, inshallah.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And everyone else, jazakumullah khair for being with us. I had a reflection as well, but I got to stay within the time. MashaAllah, you guys have been killing it. It's getting better and better and more fluid, alhamdulillah, with time. And now I feel like we know some of your personalities. We look forward to specific quirks of people coming on screen, speaking, all that kind of stuff. And it's lovely to meet new people as well. There's even, I didn't see Solange earlier in this session. I, like, panic texted her. I'm like, everything okay? Like, or where are you? You know, we miss you guys when you're not here. So keep up that consistency. You've heard all those blurbs or all those sayings of actions are with their ending, and consistent deeds, the small deeds that are consistent, etc. So keep up that energy, inshallah. Tomorrow is going to be another a big blockbuster day with our webinar on accepted dua, inshallah, and stories of dua. So make sure that you do hit us up at ramadan360.org/webinar. Just a heads up, I did share with you guys earlier the last 10 nights donate link. Jazakumullah khair to a couple of you. May Allah reward you immensely who tried it out, who who were trying to donate and were having a little bit of trouble with it. We figured out a small issue with that link. So just hold off. Inshallah, that's going to be repaired. That's well known with the team knows it and they're taking care of it. But that's amaghrib.org/donate to automate your last 10 night donations. Just, inshallah, by the time you're done your tarawih tonight or however much in a few hours, inshallah, when you wake up, it will be fixed for you so that we can do it. We can automate it before the last 10 nights. Please join us tomorrow. Ramadan 360 always goes forward. Even if we have a webinar, even if we have 20 events going on, we have Sheikh Waleed Basyuni coming back with us tomorrow for his topic on nasiha, on advice, inshallah. And we're looking forward to that. And we'll have Brother Abdurrahman back with us as well to help host, inshallah, that session. Looking forward to seeing you guys all there. And of course, please keep in mind our amazing sponsors that make Ramadan 360 possible year after year. This year, we have HHRD in the US, Islamic Relief in Canada, and Forgotten Women in the UK. Please donate generously and consistently to their campaigns as well. And we'll see you guys tomorrow, same time, same place, but also earlier for the webinar at 1 p.m. inshallah. For now, take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.